welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are so many scriptures dealing with the necessity of biblical knowledge that we must confine ourselves to but a few in any one study. If the amount of scripture pertaining to a subject is any measure of emphasis on the theme, then the knowledge of the Bible is one of the most emphatic teachings of the Bible. We shall center our thoughts on whether we can afford the luxury of not knowing the Bible. Is knowledge of the Bible an optional, take-it-or-leave-it matter? Can we afford it as an individual or as a nation? Friend, there is a price that must be paid to have knowledge. Are we willing to pay it? There is also a price to be paid for ignorance. Are we willing to pay that? Isaiah and Hosea were prophets of God during the same historical period, some 700 to 800 years before Christ. But they labored in different geographical areas. Isaiah worked in Judah in the south, while Hosea was in the northern area of Israel. But they faced common problems, and their messages were similar. The same sins existed in both nations. They received about the same reaction from the people. And the most prevalent sin among the people and at the root of all of their problems was their ignorance of the will of God. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Now Isaiah pointed out, of the ox and the ass, they are among the least intelligent of the animals, and yet the ox knew his owner, the ass knew the source of his supply. But the people of Judah were not only ignorant of the will of their father, but they were unwilling to be otherwise. They doth not consider. There is, they were not even concerned. The mistake that they were making is the same mistake that many are making today. As Isaiah and all the prophets showed, the people were simply too busy in a society of relative plenty, enjoying their pleasures, centering their lives on earthly affairs, having neither the time nor the interest in being students of God's holy precepts. And their rebellious attitude and ignorance of the Word of God had its results. In verses 4 through 6 of Isaiah 1, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, and children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." You see, Israel had forsaken the Lord. They had provoked God's wrath. Rather than making progress, they had deceived themselves into thinking they're gone backwards. Does this not picture so much around us? Even the liberal apostasy among some in the church in our time, the head is sick, the whole heart is faint. Israel in their ignorance, Isaiah was inspired to write that they would revolt more and more. Those who know not the truth of God have no deterrent to their continued rebellion. And the ultimate result is seen in verse 7. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." And God went on to tell them how their land would become as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now in Isaiah 1 and verse 10, not only was Judah's problem presented in this first chapter, but also the solution to their problem is found here. Verse 10 pleads, "Hear the word of the Lord. Give ear unto the law of our God." God did not want their assemblies while they were partaking of their sins. He did not want their sacrifices while they remained in their abominations. Rather, as Isaiah points out, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Knowledge coupled with obedience would bring blessings, just as surely as ignorance coupled with rebellion spell their doom. Do we learn the lesson? Will we learn it now? Or will we learn it later in our own destruction? In Hosea chapter 4, this tender-hearted prophet preached to his people in northern Israel. He may have lived to see Israel humiliated and swallowed by the invading Assyrians and taken into captivity that permanently removed that nation from the scene. And why did this happen? Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. This was the nation that had heard such great prophets as Elijah and Elisha and Amos and others. Admonitions, instructions, warnings galore had been sounded throughout the land for generations. There was no excuse for their ignorance. Opportunity had been theirs repeatedly to return to God. Rather, their ignorance was willful and deliberate. And again, we need to be reminded why they were so willing and deliberate in their ignorance. It bears repetition, because it's not unlike many people we see today. Verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. In their prosperity, we see what low levels of living they had reached. Hosea 4 in verse 1 says, there was not truth in the land, no mercy, no knowledge of God. Rather, there was swearing and lying and killing and stealing and adultery. Bloodletting were their characteristics. And when the knowledge of God's truth makes an exit from the people, the door is open for the entrance of anything and everything that is vile and corrupt. Shades of our own time. The prophets would plead, hear the word of Jehovah, but the people gave no heed. The national pulse beat grew weaker and weaker until the death of the nation was inescapable. What a high price to pay for ignorance of God's will. Ignorance demands its price, and it will extract it from those who are content to remain so. A working knowledge of God's will come only to those who are willing to pay the price in study and work, in meditation and research and devotion. No generation had a monopoly on biblical ignorance, but it is a blatant and obvious biblical ignorance that is at flood tide in our time, and it's probably the most damning influence in the land, yea, in the world. Biblical ignorance is the reason atheism exists. It is the foundation of the so-called new morality. It supports rebellion against authority, the rioting, the drunkenness, the prejudice, the hatred, the uncontrolled crime. It all finds fertile soil in the minds of those who know not and care not for the will of God. The conditions in northern Israel, as cited by Hosea, and those in Judah, mentioned by Isaiah, are disturbingly similar to reports being published concerning our own land. The law of God, being unalterably true, it must be learned, it must be respected, and it must be obeyed. Seeking God's forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, and resolving to let His way be the way that we will go, is the one and only preservation of our people. unless we, the people, cease striving for pleasure and riches and satisfaction of the flesh above the holy and sacred things of God, how shall we escape what has overwhelmed the nations of the past? Can we walk the pathway of desolation and degeneracy and not experience the same results that others have experienced who preceded us? Is there any reason to believe that we shall somehow be the first people to successfully repeal the law of sowing and reaping? Two passages from Paul's inspired pen we want to mention convey a similar thought. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Friend, will we become simply another land, another people, worse than the ox and the ass, and pay the high cost of low living that comes from biblical ignorance? Does it not concern us that even our governmental agencies, the educational systems, the various elements of the media are attempting to crush from the minds of all that they can the good influence of the biblical message? Even religions are joining forces with admitted servants of the devil to retard knowledge of the Bible. Or shall we be determined that we shall learn and follow and propagate the message of God to the world, whose head is sick and whose heart is faint? But I suggest to you the hour is late, and we're already seeing the price of biblical ignorance being exacted in our society. It just takes one or two generations for truth to be removed from the minds of a society, and we're already down the road of disaster a long way in many, many circles. And what this means for our children and grandchildren should concern everyone. The only solution is Christ. The only ones who shall proclaim Christ are those of us who say we believe He is the Son of God. And in what way will you contribute to the advance of the cause of Christ among those around you? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.